This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
It is another sexy Tuesday evening, and it's another opportunity for you to go right ahead and put your leg on that man and let that man put his leg on you, to have you some nice popcorn and some wine, or some popcorn and a nice bottle of rosé, because this is what we do on Tuesday evenings. We have the conversations that, and wellness, and provoke the conversation. This evening, we are going to speak with a lady that is beyond her 40s. So am I. We are women of a particular age. And we are going to speak this evening about sex and love after your 40s, or when you're in your 40s. This commentary says here from SheKnows.com, as women approach their 40s, they may experience a sense of liberation towards themselves and their partner or partners, because let's face it, it's time for exploration, heightening their sexual libido and response. As women age, we begin to look at sex as a way toward our personal liberation and self-exploration. And as it should be, sex after 40 is no trouble. Sex after 40, there should be no babies. Sex after 40 means unadulterated sex. It means reality. It means truth about who and what we are. Now, what does it say about men? It says for men, it's natural for men to notice a gradual decrease in sex as they age. The degree of decline varies, but most men maintain at least some amount of sexual interest well into their 60s and their 70s. But sometimes a loss of sex drive is related to an underlying condition. Now, we all have underlying conditions. Some have high blood pressure. Some of us have diabetes. There are a medley of things. But this evening, we're going to talk to McPhee Brown.
Oh, I'm flattered.
Lisa, how are you?
I am well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Lisa, I have to tell you that every time I see you, Lisa, I've never really seen you in anything twice, aside from your vehicle, right?
And yeah,
Lisa, you always look so good. I just have to tell you, I mean, you always have a presence. And I know that in your current job, you help so many people. And I wanna give you your flowers. Thank you for helping so many of us on so many different occasions.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And Bahamas, let me tell you something as well. Tomorrow is my mom's anniversary. She would have been gone for a year. And the very day that Mummy left, I had just been home. Mummy was fine. Mummy was alive. And I called Lisa. I said, Lisa, I need bam, bam, bam. She said, okay. Send me the photo, send me this, send me that. I sent that to Lisa. By the time that I had left home and gone to pick up Anai from swimming, because she's on the team, that was it. My mother was gone. But Lisa, thank you for always standing in the gap. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Kendra, for that. Thank you. Sometimes, all you want is somebody to come back and say, you know, I appreciate it, because it is the job is could be exhausting, and the job could be it could be thankless at times. There are some that come back and say, you know, thanks for doing your job. But I want to say, as you're giving these accolades of me just doing my job, that's what it is. And I just pray that more people in the public service would just do their job. And then that would take the stigma, the negative stigma that so much people have on us, that, you know, we're lazy, we don't care. There are many in the public service that do go above and beyond. And I'm at the Ministry of Social Services under an amazing minister and PS that allows me to sometimes go above and beyond and kind of bend the rules to assist, because there's no black and white in social services. So yeah. I appreciate you. I appreciate everything that you have said, and it just encourages me to even go further and go harder to, you know, to make my job even better. So thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And I celebrate you tomorrow. We're gonna celebrate your mom. That's what we're gonna do, in her memory and the awesome job she did in raising her family and being the amazing woman that she was, and keeping her legacy alive.
Thank you, Lisa. I think it's important for us to celebrate each other. And as women, you know, we already have a tough time. We're celebrating Women's International Day coming on Saturday. And I wish that all of the celebrate the International Women's Day stuff, if we would only just put it into practice and just stop writing these BS messages on Facebook and wherever else, and actually come together as women, you know?
Yeah, just live the life you post about.
Live what you post. You know, I asked a question the other day. I said, do you do mentorship? Not one person answered. I mean, and these are prominent women, but we will create our own space, Lisa, and we will do it, and we will do it in grand style, you know?
Yes, we will. And Annie knows this. This is a public forum. I want to make it clear. Anything that you do, you have my support. Anything. You have my support.
I thank you. So let us get directly. I do send out my collateral days before, and it's so graciously done by Bianca, Illustrative Artistry. She does all of the artwork for my show for Tuesdays for Guardian Radio 96.9. And one of the questions that I have in the chat, you bring a woman over 40, Lisa. You and I'm divorced. You are separated.
Yes.
You don't hide that. I don't hide it anymore. I used to be shame, right?
And why? I always wondered why. Why?
Why? Because why I used to be shame about it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I used to be shame about it, right? Because I'm a Roman Catholic, Lisa. I sing in the 830 choir. I have a daughter. My child is for my ex-husband. And then I would go to church, and I would see everybody, the husband dressed in pink, the wife dressed in pink, the children dressed in pink. Like, they live in this lily life, right? And then I would say to myself, but I just see husband with an ex-man, or I just see somebody. And then like, people would say to me, like, oh, you divorced? And like, they would like say it in that type of disdain. And so I would feel a type of way. And then
But Kendra, let me interject something.
Tell me.
The amount of women that admire you, your strength, your personality, your calling for hosting, your everything about you, your swag, your style. You think that they look at the fact that you are divorced? You know how much people you have helped, that people can say you can still survive and be happy and functioning and be a great mother. I mean, you're saying all of that, and I get that. I am a PK. I am a PK, which is a preacher's kid for preacher's those kid. That might not know. I'm a PK. My mom and dad have been married for 50 years.
Right.
And I will say this. I think that the reason I am separated is because I've seen so many people that are only married on paper and are unhappy.
Yes.
And I will not use this forum to ever disrespect my husband, the father of my two children that I love, Christian and Faith. He's an awesome father, but he nor myself, I think, were ready for marriage. I think that we both did not do due diligence in reference to both getting counseling prior. It was just the thing to do. I was at a certain age when you get in your early 20s, the thing to do is, okay, you go off to school, you come back, you meet somebody, you date for a while, and then you get married. But then emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, are you really ready? And the thing that sustains us, we talk basically every day. He's my friend. If something happens to him, I will be there for him. And like when I was in hospital a couple of years ago and I'm about to go in hospital again soon, I know he's going to be there. He's that type of person. He was raised in a good home. He has a good foundation. But we were better parents than we were husband and wife. And so I give him his props as a father. I give him his props as a man because he's very respectful. And, you know, but we're better off as friends, I think, and as the parents to our children. I don't allow the stigma of society or what other people think to have me stay in a situation that I was not good for him and he might not be good for me. And I understand what you're saying because I did have my time of, I mean, like, what would people think about me and whatever. And what is so funny about the Haymans are he could move on and it would not be a big deal. But the minute that people see me talking to somebody that might not necessarily be my significant other, I need to wear a scarlet. I'm the worst woman in the world. So the Haymans are so ready to accept a man moving on. But when a woman moves on, you are the worst thing in skin.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the minute you get to the point where people's opinions cannot determine who you are, That's the happiest
it,
right now.
It is.
I have not been this happy in a very long time.
It is. It is truly, Lisa. And I want us to have the conversation about it because I don't know that there's a realer person to bring this all home. You know, I have some very, very close. I have a circle. There's only,
I have a dot.
If my phone ring, I know who it is because nobody calls me, you know?
Right.
Unless it's work related. And I told you recently I had an injury, and in that injury, there have been two people that have been to my house on a regular and consistent basis. I mean, Charlene and Nicole come. I teased them the other day. I said, listen, who gonna bathe me today? Because I need someone to bathe me. I was only cracking them, right? But they burst out laughing. But they are here. They bring me fruit, they check on an eye. If an eye have to go to a daddy. Like anything that they do it. And it's
awesome.
That type of team that you need. And when you talk
That's
about
awesome.
Like in your 40s, there's one particular message in here, right? The woman talks about the fact that, well, I can't say it's a woman because I'm not, I can't say because it doesn't say.
The gender.
It's a gender oblique question or statement.
Okay.
But I will say this, Lisa. The person that I was when I got married, I'm not that person anymore. And what I will do then, I'm not going to do now. Because Lisa, you know, I used to be a brawler, right?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And I used to be
Muhammad Ali ain't on you.
I say brawling, but you have to get, I mean, there's no one who can get me to that point unless you do something to my child. That is the only way that I will get to that point ever again in my life.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've done. Let me tell you, boy, listen, this has to be. I did some stupid things. My husband was DJing at this function, and we were separated at that time. But I mean, you know, we still used to have. I still had little butterflies for him. I didn't really want the marriage anymore. But if I see him out somewhere, you can't be talking to nobody. Yeah, you could do that. That makes sense to you.
Yes.
So I saw him out and. Mind you, at this point, I'd never seen him with anybody ever, ever, ever. But he was DJing. And so this particular girl that people kept telling me, I think he's seeing her. So I was like, oh, really? So her and her friends was walking past. So it was like a pool function like thing. So I had a water gun and it was filled with water. And they passed him. And Kendra, I sprayed all them with water. I said, because y'all have to be hot. Where y'all going? Y'all hot, eh? So I sprayed them with water, and looking back at that now, I was like, that is the most asinine thing. What are you wedding? What are you bothering them for? You and him are already separated a couple of years now.
Yes.
And he's having a conversation with females, regardless of whatever it is. But why would you lower your standard or be, you know, what are you gaining from trying to embarrass them or hurt them. You basically embarrass yourself. Now, the person that he is, he would never, the only thing he did is packed up his things and he left. Because like you, Kendra, you know, is a certain, he knew me, he knows me inside and out. The only thing he says, this is gonna go left real quick. So before we end up, you know, at that point, the punch was hot then. So before you end up making the punch, let me just disappear. But now I'm like, for what? Like, what are we doing all of that for? What, if you have to do something that makes you a person that you're not, or you're going to embarrass your children or embarrass yourself or whatever, for what? Because at the end of the day, men are going to do what they want to do regardless. I always tell my coworkers and people that will come to me and be like, I never see you. Or, are you happy? Are you dating? Or whatever. I said, you know what it is? A man can't define me.
No.
Everybody wants to have a man that is affectionate and loving and caring and romantic and whatever. I tell people, when you want to find a perfect man, go to the NICU and go and pick up a baby. And that's the only perfection you're going to find right there.
That's
the
it.
Minute they come out and start drinking bottles and crying, the perfection starts to drop every day when they start to get older. There's nothing as a perfect man. But once you find somebody that respects you, and that is the biggest thing that I have, respects you and is consistent, that's my deal breaker. When you're not consistent and you're disrespectful, that's a deal breaker for me.
Because at 20, we was in Atlanta, Georgia. We was the freak.
Living our best life.
We was living our best life off our parents' money. I know I was.
I can tell you that. Go to dinner, be going to Lenox Mall, shopping that time. They think it'd be struggling and be in Lenox Mall with the celebrities.
Not me. I shopping, I eating, right? I mean, but that's what it was. And like at that particular stage in our life, then, you know, you move on to different stages and then you go and you get married. But did we know what an orgasm was? Did we know what love was?
No.
Because at that point in time, I think we thought all we needed was love in order to have this relationship.
Yeah. And well, I would tell you that. It takes much, much, much more than love to make a relationship work.
It does. Because Lisa, right now, you look at like how things are set up. We have, less years ahead of us than we have behind us. Like, I don't know how it goes, but we don't know what today or tomorrow holds. We don't know.
I'm 49. I turned 49 last week. And I thought about it. I say, oh my gosh, God promised us 70, and that's 20 more. Oh, like I started to have an instant migraine. I can't 20 more years. I don't know how to accept that. And then my children are 21 and 26. So I don't know.
We don't know. And Lisa, my daughter's only 11.
Yeah, you know, you started way after me. Boy, whoa.
So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, but I started later than you only through my triplets having passed. But it is what it is. But so let's get into the meat of some of these questions so we could answer some of these men and these women that send me. I don't know why they just someone one day just posted outside and stopped inboxing me. But this is one thing. I'm not the same person I was 19 years ago. I want a divorce. It's not even about sex. I just want out. What do you think of that, Lisa?
I mean, They need to weigh their pros and cons. You want out for what? Is it your mental? Is it your happiness? Your space is being compromised? Like, what is it? I mean, my thing is, most people who stay in marriages that are unhappy are staying in because of images and what
and
people
finances.
Say. And finances. Yes. And even when speaking with lawyers, they'll tell you the majority of marriages for divorce are not infidelity, you know. It's financial stress. We marry these men, these mommy boys, and nowadays, everybody that I talk to, they're saying the same thing. These men aren't looking for a relationship. They're looking for shelter.
What do you mean?
They're looking for somebody to take care of them. They're looking for somewhere to live. They're looking for somebody to take care of them. They're becoming the women in the relationship. They are dependent on the women. They're looking for to bring, you know, it's supposed to be a partnership. Yeah, if you're in a relationship with somebody and he has a job and then he gets fired or he loses his job or gets injured. Of course, you stick with them and you stay by them. You know what I mean? But we're talking about from the first week you talk in, they asking you to borrow $100 or give them $100 or they home all day on the PlayStation and you to work, working hard. And they looking for you to take care of them. They want drinks. They want to hang out with the boys. Me and the boys hanging out. You could give me $200. And this is stories I hear every day from people. And I'm like, has the dynamics changed?
But how is it that at 40 years old, you are still dating a man that wants to hang out with his friends?
Because some of these women accept anything just to say they have a man. They will accept any garbage juice just to say, I have a man.
And that's what it is. When you say that he's not looking for love, he's looking for shelter. Where the man was living before he was dating you?
The woman before. And then she got sick and tired of him, so she put him out. And then you know what we do as women? We put the blame game on the woman, call the woman everything but a child of God. And she's this, and she's so bad, and she's a bad mother, and she's this and that. I don't even know the story. When you want to know somebody, you live with them. We quick to jump on the woman who we left to batter her and bash her. But yes. We don't know what he was doing to that woman. We don't know what hell he put her through.
All right. This is the next question, Lisa. I want to try new sex with a different kind of partner. I have a different type of energy and I'd like to explore it.
That's interesting.
That's a weird question too, though.
Yeah, that's very weird. Like, what you mean a different type of, I don't understand. You're trying to get toys or something? You're trying to bring in a partner? Like, what specifically are they referring to?
Different type of sex. For the person that if you're listening to the show now and you are able to respond to this, if you can, send me some more information.
More specifics, yeah.
Yeah, when you say, I want to try new sex with a different type of partner, I have a different type of energy that I'd like to explore. Are you a man that wants to date men? Are you a woman that wants to date other women? Like, I don't know what that means, and there is no judgment. We ask,
no judgment,
we don't judge, but you have to tell me what this means. Let's do another question, Lisa.
Okay.
Should I date someone my age or older for more aligned life experiences? This particular person is 47 and the person is 25.
Oh my. The female is 25 or the woman is 25? I mean, the man is 25.
The female is 47 and the boy 25.
Oh, the female is 40. Okay. So, I understand. Well, let me speak. I understand that your sexual peak for women is after 45. You're at your sex drive increases.
Right.
But maturity-wise, you know, men take longer. Does that mean his maturity level in the bedroom would mature with you? Like, you know, I know that physically he could handle it, but it's more than just humping. Like, can he fully enjoy, entertain the whole realm of sexual experience, you know, not just humping on it and talking about, oh yeah, no, I'm talking about making love and ensuring that the woman is pleased in every way, like making love to your mind, body, and soul, you know. I don't know if there are much 25-year-olds that can get that. I don't know. I'm not saying that they aren't, but I don't know if there are much 25-year-olds. And if they are, please send. If you feel you are, if there's a woman that has one that is younger, because to be honest with you, I've never dated anybody younger than me.
Okay. So then at 47, dating someone who's 25, 26 years old, he has to have the... Or maybe it's not a relationship. Maybe they're just friends with benefits. I work all day. I'm a corporate woman. I don't have time for the relationship. I'm climbing the corporate ladder. I see where it is that I'm going. My kids are already established. I just need someone to take the edge off.
That's true. But let me tell you, I don't know how I there was a gentleman the other day that I met, but I don't know him personally. He said he saw my, pictures on Facebook and we met, and he came to my office one day, and it's just the conversations I'm turned off because there are certain things that I just can't accept. You don't know me from a can of paint, so you want to take me out to lunch. I said, you know, I'm very busy, but you know, we can send me your information and then maybe one day soon we could do something. And he messaged one night. I had posted a picture. I went to a party and I posted it on the Facebook story. And he said, well, why don't you come by me? So I said, it's 12:30. Like, I said, I don't even know you. I don't even know what your last name is. And he was like, you know, you could come by me. Maybe we could spend some time together. I don't know you, though. The only thing that is open at 12:30 is leg. And you don't, like, what you dealing with? So my thing is, I said, how old are you? It's just nothing but a number. So I think that younger man, like, he looked at me like, okay. Like, I was supposed to be impressed that he send me a message or something. I don't know. But I was like, you ain't it. And that's not the approach you should take to try and talk to somebody, regardless of their age. Like, and it's just the dating pool. I heard my coworker say the dating pool has piss in it. Because a lot of people, it can't just be water and walk. It's people confused.
It is totally contaminated. So let's look at another question. How can I maintain passion and excitement in a long-term relationship? Let's say you've been with someone now 20, 30 years. Like, what do you do? Another thing is, do you think, Lisa, intimacy is more important than sex?
Yes. Because if I have a stressful day at work and I'm coming home to a partner that I love and enjoy being around, but my body is tired, I'm tired, I'm emotionally drained. That doesn't necessarily mean I want to have sex, you know, but I want to be held. I want to talk. I want deep conversation. I want to hold. We can hold each other. You know, that is intimacy. Intimacy is not just always just banging and just jumping on top of each other and you know, and then falling asleep. No, we could be watching a movie. We could be holding each other, caressing each other, you know, just explaining why the day was so rough, crying if you need to, you know, telling each other why you appreciate each other, why you enjoy the company, expressing how, you know, being in the company of that person rebuilds you or reboots your energy. You know, that all of that is considered intimacy to me. So
we have a caller on the line, Lisa. Hold that thought. Okay. Chris, can you please?
Hi.
Good evening, caller. You're on. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
You make me laugh. I have three questions I would like for you to respond to.
Lisa or me? Me, Lisa?
Yeah. That's your name?
The co-host is the guest is Lisa. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. It appeared to me in today's world that there is a gender war, and for some reason, relationship seems to be not working, and the children normally get caught up in this. I like that you said you and your ex were civil in terms of dealing with your children.
Yes.
I don't know why this appeared to be a gender war. Well, I do know that we are now producing a lot of mama's boy, and we can see that, and see that all over. But you know, you have to admit that some of your sisters are responsible for these mama's boy and these effeminate men. You have to agree. You have to, let's say for what it is. I think a boy must be structured in a home by an alpha male man, like my father did with me, because I have a little with that also, with these effeminate mama's boy. But explain, what is a garbage juice man? That is the question. Please, I'll just hang up and listen, because you call a garbage juice man. Explain that.
Okay.
I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. So I'm not. That's funny. So a man that is just garbage juice, a man that is a user, somebody that is just into trying to see what they could get from a woman, not genuine, doesn't want a job, lousy, disrespectful. First of all, if they don't respect their parents or their sisters, then, you know, it's hard for them to respect a female that they're getting to know. Somebody that is entitled, somebody that feels like the world owes them something. Just an all around child, because no man could be garbage juice. When we say men are garbage, boys are garbage juice, because a real man would not have those, you know, wouldn't have that, all of that. But somebody who just is not ready to be in a relationship and is broken. And if you're broken, you can't and be in a relationship, you need to work on yourself, because the only thing you're going to do is pull down somebody else and make them broken just like you. So that's basically what I mean when I say garbage juice boy, because I don't want to say man, because a real man wouldn't be garbage juice.
That, Lisa, you have my chat completely blown up. Let me ask this question, right? How do I prioritize emotional intimacy versus physical intimacy in a relationship?
But I mean, sometimes you're going to want the, like I said, the holding, the crying, the talking, the releasing of whatever stress you're having, or you just want to, you know, experience each other laying down together, looking at the sunset, you know, the romance and all of that. Then other times you just want to get wild and crazy. It's times and situations for that, different atmospheres for that. Like, you know, most times with wild and crazies is vacations or weekends when it's just you, no kids around. You know, or you just having one of those days at work and you're like, you know, when I get home, I just want tearing to pieces, you know, but it's times and locations for that. Like I always tell a lot of the clients that come in, how is it that, you don't have anything to eat? You're not sure where you're going to lay your head, and I'm not judging anybody, but you want to have sex? I really want them to explain that to me, because
I am always bewildered. Lisa, I am always bewildered. I just try to figure out, right? And I don't know if this just me, and I'm not judging. But Lisa, how are you having sex in the heat? How are you having sex on an empty stomach, friend?
Why are you having sex and have gas? The your stomach growling, or your moaning, or that's your belly growling? Like how? I don't understand. That. So explain it to me. And you know, one person was like, well, that's it free, and that's all you have. So mosquitoes biting you because you ain't have no fan, you ain't have no AC, and the windows open up, and ain't no food. So the only thing you could do is juice.
Can I tell you something though, Lisa? Can I tell you something? And I'm going to be very honest with this, right? And I'm going to bring this to like a reality situation, because my mother is the eldest of all of her siblings. Mm-hmm. But my mother and her brother are the only two with the same last name. So my Grammy, my mother's mother, would have had a medley of children. She have a Mitchell, she have a Cooper, she have a Smith, like all of them of different, she have a Thompson, all of them have different last names. And so I remember my asking, mommy said, mommy, like, how come all have all these different last names? Like, what is going on? And mommy said to me, she said, Kenra, I don't know why my mother used to call me Kenra. She said, Kenra, mommy loved my daddy and my brother daddy. And my Grammy was a maid all of her life. So there would be taxi drivers to drop my Grammy home, or hackers. The people's homes that she would have gone into, maybe she would have had a relationship with the owner of the home or something. So like everybody have a different last name. But sometimes these women were literally looking for love, and their love was caught up in, okay, I made a mistake the first time. I tried this the second time. And then the third and the fourth time, you just are compounded looking for love. And you never
can. Yeah, the only difference between your Grammy and now is we have Dina. You know, if we had Dina back in the day, plenty of people would have noticed that we have more technology now that could say who your daddy is. But is the difference between what happened then and happening now?
None.
So even in these churches with these older people who, when you come in church and you're pregnant, they're so judgmental and holding up their nose at you and doing all that. Y'all used to do even worse and at younger ages and stuff like that. It's just that we didn't have any smartphones and recording and all these other things. Y'all just used to do y'all stuff more sneakily. Now everything open and exposed, and the minute you do something, it's blasted or whatever. Nothing has changed under the sun except technology.
Nothing. But I would say though, Lisa, at the time that our parents were alive, there was such a thing as shame, because some of the things I see these young girls doing today,
they ain't have no shame.
This is something that came to the inbox. It says, "Women don't get old. We get into our fierce 40s, fabulous 50s, sexy 60s, and sassy 70s." And just become more free to speak our minds, and that's beautiful. All right. Thank you, Texter.
I agree with that.
I appreciate that. I have another caller on the line. Caller, Chris, can you please add the caller? Hello.
Hello.
Good evening, caller.
Hi.
Good evening, my friend. How are y'all doing today?
We are wonderful. You're going to church today?
No, I get a little flu. I don't want to go cough amongst people.
But oh, well, you know, Lent starts tomorrow.
Earlier?
Say it again.
Did your guest say her age earlier?
Yes, she
did. I'm 49.
You're young. 49, you're young. I thought I heard a different age. But what I want to say is that the person who attacks about being 40-some old, friend or whatever she called him.
Yes.
I got to make my story short because I want to get on another point. I used to be a shelf boy at a liquor store, at a particular liquor store downtown. And my boss lady was she's 73 now, and I'm 57, so y'all can do the calculation on that. And she moved me out of my mother's house, peace. Well, you ride with me. I ain't going that way tonight. You got to sleep here. And peace, I end up moving in. You know where they can't close someplace, and they were bringing the clothes back out?
Yes.
Tell I check, I got no clothes by my mother to wash. And we end up being together for quite a good time. But what had happened is that I think the problem was she had a son of like maybe 3 years younger than me. So it didn't really look too good.
Right.
But you were saying something, Kendanique, about your Grammy and her children.
Yes, my mom, I am proud
to say this because I never went to school with dirty clothes. I never was hungry. I am the last out of 9 children.
Right.
And I never saw my mommy with a man.
Never?
Never in my life.
Oh, wow.
I never saw my mommy with a man. I never saw my mommy drink a beer. I never saw my mommy smoke a cigarette. I never saw my mommy wear a pants.
Wow.
Big thing in the church. My mom is never married.
Wow. That's amazing.
I was so fooled. We were living in a house. I know houses usually have a front door and a back door. But my mommy room had a door.
Mm-hmm.
And I always ask my siblings, so why can mommy room had a back door? And they'll always laugh at me.
Right.
Until I know that was a sneak in and sneak out door.
You see the difference now? Now these women, they will meet Jerry, Tom, Bob, one every week and coming in and have children believing they have 2 and 3 daddy. And they just don't get the same thing.
And then the problem with that too is that with me, I'm a widower. And when my children were a little younger, I was very careful of who I bring around. Say, well, that's my new girlfriend now. Their mommy died. Mm-hmm. So I had to be very particular. But my children in a game where if you see my son don't like you.
Right.
Now you could do all you want to do for my son. If you see my daughter not, don't take to you, my son ain't bothered you. So they're interested in me, they gotta make sure my daughter like you. but I have big children. I don't have no little children, I have big children.
So let me ask you this. So are you dating anybody now?
They big now.
Are you prepared to date now?
I'm dating now. Yeah, but now.
Okay. Okay, so as a senior man, right? And when I say senior man, I said it with the greatest level of respect because my father's a senior man. Pardon?
Yeah, now I can hear you better.
I said, as a senior man, and I don't want you to take any offense to this, I say this with the greatest amount of respect. As a senior man, what do you look for if you are looking for someone to date in this current climate? What do you look for?
Company.
Company.
Yeah.
Someone to help, Someone you put in, help you put in your dentures on your and go buy go little eat little Kong salad
go
on your
little drink. Little Kong salad after church. Now you don't have to be a church going person, but I go to church. You don't really have because I think some of the better women you find. I mean, God forgive me, and I can't ignore. A lot of some of the better relationships I had was with women or the church.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I met my
That's
wife
a
of a church.
Right there.
And we've been together for 18 years before she died. This year would have made us 28 years married.
So if you don't mind me asking, what are some of the flaws that you see with church women?
A lot of them who single are married to the church and married to the even though the pastor married, they still married to the pastor. Every time the pastor, if he going to preach Monday night, they going. Tuesday night they go. Wednesday night they go. The pastor traveling, they want to travel to the pastor. They don't even know if the light bill paid. They ain't know they just want to be the pastor cheerleader.
Oh.
So I say if that's the case. You might say, see if you could sweet out the pastor.
My God.
So they spend too much time
in the church.
In the church.
Yeah.
But on the Bible say you have to take care of home first before you get
Your home
you get,
is your church. The home is your first church.
Right.
The home is your first church.
Right.
You know, and a lot of things I gotta let y'all go right now. But there are a lot of things happen. These pastors then put some things in these women's head, and when they go, then will the pastor can tell a woman she can't have
sex
with us what?
That's out of order.
No, but wow, that's me. I know what's happening to somebody by a little watering hole where I go sometime. I tell him what he's supposed to do is pack up all her clothes and put her in the pastor church porch because she got to go live with them.
So you think
yeah,
maybe
the
they get
going on a fast or something? You sit
you think
down
they get
husband
something
and say,
from the pastor?
We going on one 21-day fast. We going on one this day fast. Get your husband approval. Get your husband okay. If you're going on a fast, you can't touch him for them that length of time. So get his approval on that.
Yes.
Wow,
I thank you for being my steady. I appreciate you. I hope you get better.
But I'm going to send somebody my way for me.
Could I tell you something? Every pot have a lid. There's someone out there for somebody.
Yeah, man.
I can tell you that.
But see, my problem is a lot of my friends would tell me, boy, any woman you get, you can try turn them back into your wife again. I had a beautiful wife.
Yes.
And people would say, you can try make them be like how your wife used to be. But I don't think so.
I don't think so either. You have lived long enough to know that things will change.
I'm really, my biggest thing is company. Because when my son go, and he girlfriend, he go, my daughter go, the boyfriend, she go, they leave me in the house, lock up like a teddy bear. Let company come by. You ain't got to live here. Just come by and go.
Yeah.
And then you're listening. I know somebody can call it in, but
Thank you so much. You are very informative. You spoke a lot of facts.
We appreciate you. Thank you. We are going to take a very quick break. This is another sexy Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday evening. And this is another opportunity for you to indeed have some popcorn and wine tonight. This breeze is sexy. Open the window a little bit. Let that breeze flow through. You know, we were having a conversation at lunch yesterday, right? And this gentleman said that he likes when his significant other comes home and, you know, takes charge. Take charge, that man, tonight. Take charge. You over 40.
Bully him.
You're not, baby. Take charge.
That's right. Bully him.
We are going to be right back. This is Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk all day. We're going to go to a break.
And somehow you know even then.
that somewhere you'll see her again and again. Some enchanted, some may be laughing. You may hear her laughing across a crowded room. And night after night, as strange as insane, the sound of her laughter.
Bro, what's going on, boy? What you into?
Ain't nothing, boy. Right here, dog. What's going on, though? What in the bag?
I just buy some of them Collect Platinum flavors. You try them yet, boy?
What? Boy, I hear they nice.
That's why I had to get all two of the flavors. Black currant and citrus strawberry.
Stop that, boy. I hear they lit, bro. Lit. Like they have 7% alcohol and a kick of rum. You know, that's all you need to get the party started.
Collect Platinum flavors. Flavored beer with a kick of rum. Collect. Reminds you to drink responsibly.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 3.5 minutes. Use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying?
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Well, I hope and pray before I lay down by your side. If you receive your calling before I awake, would I make it through the night?
Now listen, that is Cherish the Love. That was one of Mommy's songs, boy, Lisa.
Oh boy.
I like that song too, girl.
Lisa, that was one of Mommy's songs. And then some daddy, sometimes, you know, I mean, and this old school love. That sometimes daddy used to come on the side of Mommy's bed and used to say, baby girl, used to call her Donna John. He say, used to be my girl. Listen, daddy and Mommy, they had a love story forever. I
know, right?
I appreciate my parents. Let's get to these questions. And Lisa, some of these people, they ain't playing with us. They ain't playing with me this evening. So this is a message. Kenny, you and Lisa, stop pitter-pattering around this thing. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about the real deal. As a man, I want you to understand something. I am over 40. As a matter of fact, 55. I am 55 years old. You know just who this is, who messaging you, Kenny. I am 55. I ain't no little boy. When I come home, I didn't do what I had to do. I didn't do what I had to do at work. I want my wife to put those children in their bed and take advantage of me. I want to feel needed. I want to feel appreciated. At this stage in our lives, we should not be playing games. We should be able to have the conversations and say what needs to be said. Let's have the hard conversation. I say to my wife, I would like to have sex at least twice a week. I know that she has regular stuff that she has to do for the children. I know that she works 9 to 5, and sometimes she may have to work shift because she's a nurse. But I want my wife to want me. I like when I come home and she says, babe, how was your day? But I also like the fact when she comes home and says, babe, get ready. When I see the candles on the dresser, I know what that means. Take advantage of me. Lisa? What you say to that?
I say that that's good, that Lisa is communicating what he wants, but that's the problem. That's the problem in relationships. When we don't communicate what we want and we think that the other person is a mind reader. If you want a more aggressive sex life, then you should be able to communicate that with your partner. Sometimes we don't communicate. We give them the silent treatment, or we just assume that they should know. And then that's when, you know, the space comes in, or someone else will come and be more aggressive or be what you need. When all you had to do simply at home or with your partner, say, listen, I want more of this, or I want less of that, or I like when you do this. I don't like when you do that. Communication is essential, not just for the sex life, but for the relationship to function and work properly.
But Lisa, everybody is not ready for Lisa. Nah, Lisa, you want to tell the people how me and you, Lisa, everybody ready for communication?
No, because that's what I was about to say. And if we're being real and authentic, my main issue, see, I'm a daddy's girl. And that is where a lot of relationships, you know, you said something, you said how your parents had a good relationship. I'm not going to say my parents' relationship or marriage is perfect, but I know that my father loves my mother loved my father. My mother's only boyfriend that she ever had was my father.
Okay.
So let me tell you this now. At the end of the day, I always just crack a joke with my mom. I say, mommy, you don't know if you even know what a good sex life is.
Huh?
I mean, I'm just being real. You don't know how
Lisa,
you know.
Lisa, you say sex in front of your mommy?
Of course. Lisa, can I tell you something? Now, I was in my 30s when I did it for the first time. But Lisa, I have to be real. Me and my mother have an open relationship.
My dad listens every week. Like my daddy, mommy, even though mommy was in the bed, mommy say, Candle, put on the TV so you can hear. I can't run the radio. Like when, because I started doing this when I would cover for Juan McCartney during the daytime. So mommy would listen. And then when she see me on TV doing the Junkanoo or whatever, like mommy, she listens, she watching. So one time, right, she sent me a message on daddy phone. I must be calling and said, mommy, you could hear me? So she said, yeah, and you're saying sex plenty. I said, Jesus of mercy. But Lisa, I wouldn't know how to say it.
When I got married, I felt like I was woman then, so I could say certain things. And then plus, my husband at the time used to tell mommy, because I used to say, you know, see, Kendra, we got to be real. I used to tell him, I used to say that if you want certain things, you got to put some money on the table. Because, you know, you got to put some money. If you want the works, then that's like $300. I never used to run out now. And so he used to tell mommy, say, mommy, you know, your daughter's charged. She's charged me when I watch. And mommy say, no, Lisa, that's prostitution. I said, Tammy, prostitution, if that's my husband. But no. That was a way for me. That was fun for us. That was like a little game thing for me.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, so we got to that level where we were able to keep it. And to tell you the truth, I think that is why me and him have a good relationship now, because I have no other choice but to respect him, like I said, the father, because we are the best mates for each other, like I said, but we had a friendship.
Exactly.
I can't, the foundation that I have with my parents helps me to be a better mother, a better friend, a better, you know, I still have work to do, but communication, like I said, for me was key, because a lot of things, even up until, I'm not the same person I was last year when it comes to communication, because like I was saying, I am a daddy's girl. So my daddy always, you know, he always said, you know, nobody could talk to you any kind of way. I don't care who they are. You're as important as anybody else. And, you know, always demand respect, and everybody isn't going to like you, but they must respect you. So there's certain things that I always felt like men just should automatically do. And you know, so, and that was an issue for me. So when he didn't do things that I thought that he should normally do, that affected us, because like he said, Lisa, we raised a friend. I'm Seventh-day Adventist, you Baptist. You used to certain things just automatically being done. The world doesn't work like that. So I had to change some things within me, and he had to change some things within him. I thought that I thought I was a WWF in the bedroom. And you know, but at the end of the day, he was like, you know, what you dealing with? Where you coming from with these things? And I'm like, we married. The marriage bed is under fire. That's how I was raised. So,
right.
And so, and then me, I think that I personally, I enjoy having sex. I think that when you have sex, especially with somebody that you love and you're comfortable with, you can explore each other and be free to try things. And, you know, once the other person is comfortable and you're not being disrespectful to them or doing things that they're not comfortable with. So I don't see the issue.
This is another statement. Actually, two more statements, because I have other questions as well. But this is another statement. Kendanique, thank you for spelling my name correctly. Kendanique, at the beginning of the show, you spoke about Women's International Day and the fact that you made a post or responded to a post and asked if there's mentorship. I would like you to take your head out of your behind and stop being naive. These women are not going to welcome you because you are a force, whether you do it intentionally or whether you do it unknowingly. I know Lisa on a professional level. I'm in college. She's always been the very same way. You and Lisa share some of the very same traits. Stop asking these ladies for mentorship. They may have more money than you, but who respects money? Money can make you happy. Money can make you happy, but does money really get you respect? I often see these ladies on Facebook that are in various political parties and various sororities. You yourself are in a sorority. I think Delta Sigma Theta. Yes, I absolutely am. Does that get you anywhere in life? Does that make you any better than anyone else? We all put on our shoes and our socks and our pants one leg at a time. I want you to know something. Every Tuesday, you have more listeners than you would actually care to believe. We are sitting in the kitchen, in the conference room. We're sitting in the kitchen and some in the conference room listening to the conversation. There are many of us that listen. There are many of us that want to leave, but simply cannot. Women's International Day is absolute garbage in the Bahamas because these women don't champion each other. They sit down, wow. They talk. They sit down, they talk. They sit down, they talk, and they look at each other in their rose-colored glasses. But you've done what some of us wish we could do. I'm married. This is my second marriage. I will say this to you. I've heard you talk about your daughter. I've heard you talk about your ex. We all know that you used to be a fighter. And for that, it is what it is, because I fought in my first marriage as well. But don't get these things. No one is going to mentor you, Kenny. Do what you have to do for you and for the rest of us and the little girls inside of us that are listening every single Tuesday. Ask Lisa if it was her who organized that dance on Facebook. What dance I organized on Facebook?
Oh, my.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
Oh, the video. She says the video. He says the video. The video, Lisa, the video.
What video I organized?
The comment video with y'all, with y'all priest or something at y'all church.
Listen,
let that person know. One thing I have is a big girl is plenty rhythm. So I hello. I had no part of that, but I'm Lisa, going to.
Lisa, I better get it together here.
No, man, that was just a sample. So y'all don't come for us. We saw that's only a sample. The best is yet to come. Y'all
right,
stay focused.
All
stay
right,
focused.
This is
I hope you digested the depth of what that lady said. Right after this, we need to consult. And wow.
This is another statement here, Lisa. What role does sexual health and exploration play in my happiness after 40? Kenny asked the question about having open communication and exploring sex. A few weeks ago on the show, I guess you were trying to hint that people ask for anal. I wasn't so much hinting that people ask for anal because they said that anal is one of the most heightened sexual orgasm arousals that you could possibly have. I wasn't hinting. I was trying to say it in a way that Dwight wouldn't get fined by IRCA and they wouldn't yank me off of the radio. Okay, so let me finish the question. What role does sexual health and exploration play in my happiness after 40? Does this mean that I should have the hard conversations? If you're in a committed relationship, should you be open and honest enough to say, hey, I want this type of sex. I want that type of sex. I don't like how you kiss me this way. I prefer intimacy than sex. I prefer intimacy more than sexy, or I don't know how that reads, but when you think about this question, Lisa, right? The role, what role does sexual health and exploration play in your happiness after 40? Did you know what your body was like prior to 40? Like, do you think that it's better now or better then?
No, Kenny, don't get it twisted. I've been a big juicer. Oh Lord, I can say that.
Dwight hasn't messaged me yet to say we can't say it. So I guess
no, man. I let me tell you, the minute that I understood my body and I understood what it for me to reach my peak and be comfortable and happy. First of all, and it started with me being comfortable with myself.
Right.
I'm a big girl. I'm not a small girl anymore. I'm a big girl, but I had to be comfortable with myself. You can't give yourself sexually to somebody, allow them to explore your body, allow them to understand you and all that if you're not comfortable or you don't understand yourself. And then you have to be, I feel, this is my personal thing, I have to be fully connected in every way with that person too. So we have to be on the same page. So I know his body. He knows my body. He understands my body. He knows just where to touch me, how to touch me, what turns me on. He knows me. And then there are times that we would talk about things that we want to do. Like balcony, you know, balcony sex. Oh Lord, my parents. Yeah. Things that are different that you've never done, like outside of the box. Like, you know, what are things that you've never done? Like, what do you want to do? Things like that. Go ahead.
So this is a text, and this oh Lord, Daddy, are you on the radio? Oh, I can't answer, Daddy. So this is another question. This is a question, Lisa. What happens at night when the honey lounge? Oh Lord, this is from this lady says I'm a professional, and sometimes at night I'm thumping. I need someone to release. I need that extra love and attention. I'm over 40. I know what I want. I just want you to know what I want. Okay, then this is a next comment here. This comment reads, please, sex after 40 is for the big girls. I am a woman of a particular size. I'll be honest with you, Kenny. I am 320 plus pounds. I'm going to start Ozempic soon, but not too soon. I was in a marriage, and the reason my husband said he left me was because I didn't fit his weight category. When he married me, I was a beautiful girl from Eleuthera, small size. I had two children. I blew up. I didn't just blow up because I ate for food. I blew up because I ate out of looking for love. Food was my comfort. But I will tell you, I've been divorced now for 7 years and dating this man for 5. I now have sex with the lights on. This man sees me. This man appreciates me. This man understands that as big as I am, I will fling him down to, I will fling him down to the ground because I now have confidence in how I look. That my man that I see now is slim. He's small. And like I'm not ashamed of who I am. We have the conversations. He takes me out any and anywhere. And if anyone looks at me with a weird look, he says, is there a problem? This is okay. My man, and I have sex with the lights on. Signed. Signed, big girl. I like that.
Didn't I just say that before that? Because somebody, she found her person. The slim person, a husband who she gained weight on because of eating comfort foods. And I can tell you that because that's one of my, when I'm stressed out, I eat for comfort. But at the end of the day, you said something earlier, but you never see me in something twice or whatever. People always say, you always dress up. I think that I take extra time and I do things in reference to dressing because I am a big girl and I'm a big girl. I take pride in making sure that I am together. But at the end of the day, if I don't love me at some point, which is my point right now, I know that I have to get control of my weight or whatever. But I still love me. And I don't ever want to be the size I was when I was in Houston or whatever. I don't. I love being a big girl. But being a big girl, I still want to be healthy. But on besides that point, I want to be healthy. I want to be happy. And I want to, you know, that ain't a stop no show. I love that big girl. Big girls unite. Big girls run the world. Big juices.
The text coming in. Kenny, I'm a man of a particular age. I appreciate the conversation that you're having because so often we only want to talk about politics, the FNM, the PLP, and the coalition. I'm sick and tired of that. I'm coming home on the ride after I made sure that I was in my vehicle to hear exactly what was going to be spoken about. Oftentimes, we think that it's just about sex, but it's really and truly not about sex, you know. It's about having the right connection. You mentioned that there's a pot for every lid and a lid for every pot, and there absolutely is. I want you to take under account, you and your guests, that you are both women of a particular age. Oftentimes, I will see women at church. I will see women out to the grocery store. I can cook. I can do everything for myself. At this point, I want companionship. I've done the love. My children are grown. I want someone to grow old with. I want someone to understand that it's not only about sex. I want to travel. I want to see things. I want to experience every part of life. This is what life is all about. And after 40, that is when life truly begins. This is another text that has come in. And this text reads, after 40, your independence soars in everything that you do. You give less about what someone thinks about you and more about what you think of yourself. Because after all, you live with yourself more than you live with anyone else. I would like to ask this question to you, Kenny, because you said that you're divorced. I will be divorced fully in a few weeks. How do you get past what you're used to? Okay, so I don't know how you get past what you're used to, right? I will give you some transparency, and this is just transparency. I always had a particular thing in my mind. Like, I always thought that my marriage would have been exactly like my parents and that I would have the white picket fence and, you know, you go to school, you get these degrees and you do all of these different things and all of that. And you just think that life will pan itself out. But I don't know if I really knew how to be a wife. I know how to clean and I know how to cook and I know how to balance a budget and I know how to do those things. But I don't know if I knew how to be a wife. And then everything that I did, like if I would go to the hairdresser, I just look for an outlet just to discuss it. And I'm very open about what I've gone through. And so maybe that makes people uneasy. But I have in my life now
someone who is not the norm. I have someone in my life who loves me for me. I have someone in my life that doesn't wear a suit every single day, but honey, when he put on his suit, he put on his
sharp suit.
I could tell you the heart wants what the heart wants, but it takes you time to grow beyond your minuscule and your myopic thinking because you're so used to a one-trick pony. And I wasn't necessarily looking for love, you know, but I and this person that I have, he knows that I'm a Junkanoo person. He don't get involved in that. He is a Junkanoo person himself. He has his family in terms of he has children and I have children, and I don't have to prove I could have no children to nobody because I can't have any more children. Like, that part of my life is done. He knows that I'm a Roman Catholic. I ain't changing my religion and my denomination for nobody. I'm not conforming to what you want because that's what would make you happy. Now, I think I did that a lot because I was trying to please and appease. But sometimes, right, you have to look outside the box. There's nothing wrong with dating a garbage man. Okay. And maybe if you date that garbage man, maybe if he only have one truck, maybe he working on the garbage truck, right? And because mm-hmm. of your intellectual prowess or because of who you are, you can help him. You can help him buy trucks. Y'all could have garbage trucks together. But if this man, and when you think about love, Lisa, you mentioned, and to the texter, I want to say to you, respect and consistency is a game changer.
I can tell you that. Big game changer. I just that's having a conversation with my person today. I said, be consistent, and communicate. And then stop this nitpicking. Like, okay, I haven't heard from you, so I didn't call you. Sometimes a woman desires the extra attention. Not all the time, but there's sometimes if you don't, she longs for you to call her and for you to surprise her, for you to do something outside of the box. Stop trying to make everything black and white because that's not a relationship. And there's no perfect relationship. It's not black and white. And everything is not always what it seems. I have so many friends that are in relationships and are so unhappy. Stop caring so much about what people say just to say, I have someone. Because sometimes that someone is breaking you down and is destroying you, destroying your inner person, destroying who you really are. And there's nothing wrong with being alone. You know how long I was by myself? Like, I was just, I mean, I always had somebody that I used to talk to, but I mean, being by yourself and not having somebody just to say, this society, oh, she don't have a boyfriend, she don't have a man, so what? She's finding herself, she's learning herself, she's growing, she's healing. There's nothing wrong with that.
This is a response to that. Remember the question read, I want to try new sex with a different kind of partner. I have a different type of energy and I'd like to explore it. The response, when we asked her to, or whoever it was to respond, I realize now that it's a her. It reads here, when I speak about the different type of partner and the different type of sex, I'm a woman that's always been in a heterosexual relationship, but I notice sometimes that I often have the tendency to look at other women. And now that I'm over 40, my children are grown and out of the house, I want to explore my opposite side. I'm saying this in a safe space, in a safe environment. I think that I want to try to explore dating a woman. I want to see what it's like for that type of touch. I've always had that tendency, but I never acted on it. This is my question, Kenny. Thank you for understanding and not reading it as you saw it and asking for an explanation. And then let's get to that, Lisa, but this is another text. This text reads, as you age and as you realize what your sexual needs are and what your emotional needs are, you become more intuitive and more aggressive, if that's even a thing. But we're often seen as being aggressive as Black women. I'm no longer married. My husband died, and so I've introduced toys into my bedroom and into my regular life. I do have a partner. He comes over whenever I call. We have an understanding that he is my person and I am his. But I want you to know adding sex to the mix, adding toys to the mix, adding a different type of environment to the mix makes sex even better. When I was married, we had regular, good, normal sex. It was fine. But I find now that as my sex has gone to another level, thank you for having this conversation. Thank you for being open to it. Tell Dwight thanks. I'm sure Erica is going to find y'all in the morning. Okay. So, Lisa, let's talk about this lady that
who said that she wants to explore. Okay. Well, we're in no judge zone, you know, but that is a personal thing. That is a personal decision that is between you and your God and your beliefs. If that is where the route that you feel you want to take, then that is on you. But I will say that, you know, the relationship dynamics, I have friends that are gay. I love them no different. I can't judge them. Like I said, that is between them and their God. And I can't judge them. Some of my best friends actually are gay. But at the end of the day, make sure you're doing it for the right reason. Like I have a friend that I feel kind of got involved with another person because, you know, her relationships with men going in the garbage, like they were not working. That to me is not a reason to do that. I always tell my friends, I don't see why somebody would choose to be gay because the world is so hard on them and you know, people are so cruel and it's not an easy life to have. So people, that is just my beliefs. You know, people probably attack me and say, oh, whatever. But if you have a choice, you wouldn't want to are cruel. You know, so if that is the route that she wants to take and she feels that's the way she's going, then that is a personal belief between her and her God and whoever she decides to be with, you know, so that's all I can say on it.
I agree with that. That is a personal, when I say agree, I agree with it being a personal decision because nobody can really depict how you maneuver in your sexual or your intimate or your relationship life. You can't. You just do not know. This is another question. Should I consider dating younger men or does compatibility outweigh age difference? Now, Lisa, you said that you've never dated a younger man.
Never dated a younger man. Never. I told you I've had younger men approach me, ask me out, but it's just that I'm turned off very easily and the conversations and the way that they come at you and the things that they say in such a short time is just a huge turnoff for me. I don't know if I am out of sync or if I am just too old school in relation to how to talk to a person that you're interested in. But I'm not saying that it will never happen. I don't know. But maybe the dating climate, I think that, like I said, between, but I don't think that's it for me. I would rather somebody 50, 55, 65, you know, someone older, more mature, settled, you know. I because these younger ones, they want to go skydiving and stuff. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are we going?
You don't want to skydiving, Lisa?
Where my big self going skydiving to fall in the water from the snow, baby? I too big for that.
Absolutely screaming. These are some questions, but I don't know that we are clinically advanced to answer these questions. So I'll just ask them anyway because I don't want my texters to feel like I'm not reading their messages. So how does menopause affect libido, and what can be done to maintain a healthy sex drive? I've noticed that my wife is either pre-menopause or in menopause. I don't want to seem insensitive. I mean that one we could answer, right?
Yeah, because there's medication that assists with that. With people, women that are going through menopause, I just, I actually was speaking to my doctor today. There are things that you can take that can assist in that area. I mean, we are beyond back in the day when women went through menopause and the man just don't touch them all because either she going having the heat flashes or cold flashes. Or, you know, or she's just completely turned off. There's hormonal medicines. There's things. I would advise him and his wife to go and sit with her gynecologist, have a mature conversation on what things that they can do and take in order to ensure that you know, this is not, doesn't turn negative for them, because that's all a part of life. That's a part of getting older. So there are things that you could do. Go and speak to a professional who will give you the right. We ain't trying to talk, but no, Annie, Sister Susie, on the no, we're trying to talk, but go into a professional who will tell you the correct way or correct things that you could do to ensure that even though you're both getting older, that it does not affect your sex in a negative way.
And I think I need to reach out to an OBGYN and ask them to come on the show and talk about vaginal dryness. And maybe we need to have a conversation also about hysterectomies, because I know that that seems to be a very taboo situation. Like, oh, I don't want to know I have a hysterectomy. Sis, get over it. Because these are things that happen.
I would be willing to talk about my experience too. So definitely. Yeah. And also that you need to have, and then have a doctor to come on to talk about men that have issues with erectile dysfunctions and all of that. That is very common in our country.
But
very
Lisa,
common.
Men that have erectile dysfunction don't want to have the conversation.
Okay, but then how do you not want to help? See, that's my thing. We need to move, because there are some that some men that it won't ever happen again, but there are some men that have had issues, and there are doctors in the Bahamas that assist and have done things to correct it.
Dr. Pinto, who has a show on Guardian Radio, he speaks about it all the time.
Right. So there, but then my thing is that we go right back to communication. If you sit in a hole and your stuff ain't functioning and you stay in that hole, you can just die in depression and don't ever experience sex again, because you don't want to be open to talk about it, to find a solution for it. We just have to come. We have to start being real, not with others, but with ourselves.
But I think too, right, Lisa, and I don't know if I'm just being completely naive, but if you have erectile dysfunction or if a woman has vaginal dryness, go and get the help. Say to your partner, hey, I have a problem and I need to get some assistance. I think if we conversations, if we don't confront it, we can't conquer it. So you literally sit right there for the rest of your life and never have an orgasm for the rest of your life. You could be cantankerous.
Yeah, you will.
These are some other questions, Lisa. We got Jesus. We are 7:53. Our show is normally end 7:30. Anyway, Dwight Engemeyer. So these are some more questions. What are the best ways to manage vaginal dryness and discomfort? Okay, we just had that question. We just spoke about that.
Kenny, somebody just sent me a question. They don't want me to call their name. They said it varies with people, because she just had a hysterectomy. I had a low libido after, and now we could say the H word, H-O-R-N-Y.
You could spell it out.
Okay, but now I am H-O-R-N-Y like crazy. Just got cleared today to have sex.
Well, honey bunch, bust it wide open. Do it.
Cut my legs and call me shorty. Book the surgery. Bam, bam, bam.
Mind down. So this is another question. How do hormonal changes impact sexual pleasure and orgasm intensity? Because as women and men, I'm assuming that we both grow through it. I know that the way I see and pleasure and have pleasure from sex, I use my creams, I purchase them from Amazon, and I make sure that my sex is well, wet, and ready. I keep my... I keep my KY beside the bed. It's like a gun. And I must be armed and ready. I love it. Okay, this is the next one. What are some ways to improve confidence and body image for a fulfilling sex life in your 40s and beyond if you've been sheltered before? What are some ways, Lisa? What do you think?
You have to build the confidence in yourself first. That's, I always say, you can't expect a man to build your confidence. I mean, he can enhance it, but you have to have your confidence in yourself first. So if that means going to the gym, if that means I'm big on therapy, going to therapy, talking to somebody, and, you know, behemoths also think that that's a stigma, that going to therapy, something is wrong with that. It is healthy. It is normal. It is good. once you are in a safe, someone that you trust and you feel safe with, talking to somebody that there could be issues that you have to work on you first. So once you work on you and you find that person, then you will see that when you get in the room, you'll turn into Shira. You will be the, you know, you will open up. You'll be comfortable. You would, you know.
But
it has to start with you.
I think so too. I think, Lisa, when you find that person, like that person that accepts you, I mean, let's be real, Lisa. Like these things that we see on Bold and the Beautiful and Dallas, like that's not real.
No, it's not.
Like Bobby and Sue Ellen or Jaya and Sue Ellen, they waking up with the hair freshly coiffed and no bad breath. Like that ain't real. Like when you take off this bra and when you take off your shirt and when you look like these are the real aspects of life, right? So when you would have done that, still accepts you as you are. I think the sex, I think the relationship, I think the intimacy, I think the communication is better. I think if you create a space for the person to talk to you, whether that person is a doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief, and sometimes being equally yoked isn't always the same thing. So maybe you have 50,000 degrees and this man don't have none, or maybe you have, maybe he have 80,000 degrees and you don't have none, but they don't really, that doesn't really matter. What matters is the fact that the man and the woman love you, you love each other. And
exactly.
So when you have this sexual encounter, like it takes you, it transcends you. It's the essence of love. It makes you want to do different things. Some of my girlfriends and I, we have these conversations and it's like, listen, if I love him and I feel in him and he's this and he's that and I'm getting fed what it is that I need to be fed, the sex is trans-terrestrial, if that's even a word. It's an experience.
It is. When you find your person and that person is selfless in the bedroom and willing to ensure that you are happy and fully satisfied. I'm talking about feeds your mind, body, and soul. Love, true love making. Trust me, that's explosive. That's words can't describe. And that's why when you see some of these women around here talking about they mad because their husband ain't give, because they know what they have home. They know what they have, and they want to be mean and stingy. Boy, trust me, ain't nothing like when.
The ladies and gents within the sound of my voice, this has been another sexy Kenny's Corner, Guardian 96.9. We have gone until 8 o'clock. I did not get permission for tonight, but we are still on the air, and I think that's all right. This has been an awesome conversation.
Lisa,
thank you from the bottom of my heart. I thank you, but I would want to say in closing, find your right person. Get you some popcorn. Put your leg on that man. Let that man put his leg on you this evening. And Chris, as we close, please close us out with some enchanted evening in remembrance of my mom, because tomorrow is my mom's anniversary. And I want to say to the people that have held me and that have stood in the gap for me, my circle, my Charlene, my Nicole, Latrinda, I want to say thank you, Crystal. Tucker, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. I appreciate you. Ruben, I thank you. My family. My family is my dad and my brother. I don't have no other family other than that. I have that. That's my family. I want to say thank you for holding me. And thank you for being there. Thank you to Lynette. Thank you for Dr. Tonette. Thank you to Dr. Carol. Thank you to my Aunt Joyce, who is the only person that I could safely say, Aunt Joyce, if I call her to pray for me, that she does. When your mother is gone, there's no one else that covers you. At least I don't think so. But I wanna say thank you to the people that have held me. Thank you to Aunt Joyce. Thank you to my very, very small circle. My circle is a dot. Where if my phone rings, I know who's calling. I just want to say thank you. And mommy, this is some enchanted evening. This has been Kenny's Corner. Guardian 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. We'll be back next week, Tuesday. Thank you so much. Thanks, Lisa. I appreciate it, Lisa.
You may look across a crowded room, and somehow you know even then, that somewhere you'll see her again and again. Some enchanted, someone may be laughing. You may hear her laughing across a crowded room, and night after night, as strange as it seems, the sound of her laughter will sing in your dreams. Tell me, who can explain it? Who can tell you why? Who give you reason why it's been never tried?